around unsettled people and be settled yourself. And so if you want to be settled in your heart, here's what I need you to understand. Pleasing the one who called you is all that matters. Do you understand that? If I please God, I do not care what you think. I don't care what you say about me. You didn't call me. He called me. And if he says, well done, honey, it's well done. You may not like it, but if he says, I'm well pleased. This is my beloved son. I'm well pleased. It didn't matter what the Pharisees said and the Sadducees said or anybody else said. If God is pleased, and let me tell you, the most important thing that will settle your heart is pleasing him. Whew. Watch John 8 and 29. We're going to skip around and read a few scriptures. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please me. No. I please others. No, I please him. I please the one that sent me. And as long as you want to settle the matter in your heart, please the one that called you and not everybody else who watches you. Oh, Lord. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For the purpose of the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do you understand that? The purpose of God was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Because he kept his purpose, I can keep mine. Because he fulfilled his destiny, I can fulfill mine. And your purpose sooner or later needs to be manifested that my meat is to do the will of the one that sent me and not to fulfill the will of the one that didn't send me. Please, trying to please other people will always be your downfall. Do you understand that? You cannot try to please other people. You must please the one who created you and the one who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. When a person fulfills their purpose, they cease to be jealous of other people. They want you to fulfill your purpose. Contentment comes over you and a peace comes over you. You cease to be critical and antagonistic to other people because you realize that fulfilling their purpose helps you fulfill yours. Settle your issues with other people and with God and everybody that you can. But settling it first with God is the most important thing you will ever do. Solomon said, when a man's ways please the Lord, that even his enemies are at peace with him. Hallelujah. You see who's you've got to settle the issue with is God. Man, Galatians 1 and 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Now, there was a time Paul was persuaded by men. But he's telling this church, now, who am I going to listen to, men or God? Or do I speak to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of God or please God. I can't do the work of God that I'm a servant. I can't do what my master has said if I please you. Pleasing my master is more important than pleasing other servants. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. He may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. He has chosen you, hallelujah, to be a soldier, and you cannot entangle. You know, if you're going to be in the service, you was in the service, right? You didn't just say, hey, boys, Sarge, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I'm going to go shoot some pool down here at Slick Willie's. He said, pardon me, you want a court martial? You've got to please the one that's in charge of your soul. God has chosen us to be in a warfare. I don't have time to entangle myself with the things of the world. Somebody came by my office earlier today, and we got to talking for a couple hours, and we were both discussing. I don't have time to argue with you. I'm sorry. I've got other things I need to do in the kingdom of God. I know you feel that way about me, but I don't have time to meet with you because you are you're just not wanting to settle it right. You're just wanting to argue and debate and all these kind of things. I want to settle it. I don't like debates. I won't debate anybody. Debates don't work. You want to reason things out, we can do that. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You've got to have faith. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We continue to look too many times at the wrong measuring device of how we please God. Some people think, well, look at the stuff I got. Look at the house I got. Look at the car I got. Oh, he must really be blessed and all that. That's not how God measures pleasing him. It's not at all. We use the wrong measuring cup, the wrong device. Even pastors, how many do you run in church? What difference does it make how many we run in church? Who cares? What matters is the truth preached in the church. Are we pleasing God with what we preach? My. A couple sermons ago, I talked about the heart and the mind being two separate entities. And too many times we try to settle things. Now, I'm going to tell you some stuff that, you know, we've said for many years, and perhaps we mean one thing and say another. But we say, if I could just settle this in my mind, but I'm here to tell you, unless it's settled in your heart, you will keep changing your mind. Because minds flip-flop. Can you say amen? But hearts don't. Your heart don't flip-flop. Your mind does. And so we need to settle things in our mind, because in our heart, because it is our heart that feeds our mind. For out of an evil heart proceedeth evil thoughts and corruptible thoughts, but out of a pure heart proceedeth pure thoughts. So we need to get our heart right before God. And we're going to get our heart right by pleasing him. Our heart needs to be right with the right motives and the right spirit of things. If your motive is wrong, I don't care what you say or you do, you'll flip-flop. But if your heart is right, Lord, I'm standing on what I believe and nothing can change me. In our text, Jesus is telling his disciples about some terrible days that's fixing to come. He's telling them all kinds of things. They're wanting to know about the end. Why are they wanting to know about the end? So they can get in their minds what to do to prepare. I'm not going to look at anybody, but a lot of people stored up a lot of gas for Y2K. They stored up a lot of generators for Y2K. And they used up all that gas. It went bad. The carburetors gummed up. And they prepare. But their mind was going, what can I do? What can I do for the day that's coming? What can I do? And Jesus said, take no thought. I'm not saying you should be an idiot, if you will, and not be aware of your surroundings, but this is what he told them. He told them, he said, the terrible days are coming. There will be a day when a stone will not be upon another stone. That beware lest any man deceive you. And there's a lot of false Christ going to come and say, Lord, Lord, I'm over here and I'm over here. He said, believe them not. There'll be wars and rumors of wars and commotions and nations against nations and kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes in divers places, fathers against brothers and sisters and families against families. Famines will come and fearful things will come out of heaven. They will deliver you, he said, before kings and for magistrates and rulers and synagogues and prisons for my name's sake, and you shall turn into my testimony. Wow. Somebody said, make me a testimony? Get ready. And no doubt their minds do what our carnal minds do. If all that's coming, I'm going to dig me a hole in the ground and I'm going to get me some bullets and I'm going, oh, come on. Your mind will flip before, you'll be the first one to surrender. I'm telling you, act tough and you're the first one to throw out the flag. But if your heart is made up, he said, this is what he told him, Luke 21:14, after he told him all these terrible things, he said, settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. You're not gonna get it, enough of it in your mind to not deny the Lord. You can say, I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna get that in my mind. Just say it over and over. If your heart ain't saying it, it's not right. Your heart. When the Lord told David, seek my face, he said, my heart said, thy face shall I seek. Not my mind, my heart said, thy face shall I seek. Settle it in your heart. Settle it in your heart. And if you settle it in your heart, it'll feed your mind the right thoughts. And you know what? Once you settle it in your heart, you won't meditate on whether I'm staying or I'm leaving. I'm cooking. I'm not cooking. I'm going to Walmart. Or I'm going to Target. You're going to settle it in your heart what you want to do. Then when the day comes of adversity, you know what? You know what to do. Are you with me this evening? He's telling them, settle it now. Settle it now. I don't know about you, but when I got in the church, I was very young, but my heart got in. I'm telling you, my heart was in this thing. And here I am, 58 years old. I'm telling you, my heart is still in this thing. My mind didn't change. Why? My heart didn't change. That's why. My heart never changed, so my mind couldn't change. The reason people's minds change because their heart is not right. They're trying to do what their heart's not into, and that's why it changes. So he's telling them to settle it down. After he said all of these things, he said the end is not yet. Don't wait until you're caught in the circumstances to decide what to do and say, oh, I'm going to get my heart right. Now is the time to get your heart right. Quickly, let's look at Luke 14 and 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he has sufficient to finish it? I want to tell you, the streets of hell will be paved with what? Good intentions. I intended on it. But he's telling them, and I'm telling you, you have time, but say not the harvest will come in 4 months. For I tell you, the harvest is already ripe. Don't say, I have time, because you don't have time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make preparation. Sit down, and what he's telling them, this whole context, he's saying, sit down now and settle it. Settle it. Count the cost and see if you have enough to finish it. Settle it now. Don't say, well, I can afford the down payment. If you can't afford the note, then don't sign the paper. Don't engage in anything that will deplete you until you sit down and count the cost. Somebody says, I can't wait to have a baby. Ooh, I'm going to have a baby. Let me tell you, a baby will deplete you. I can't wait to get married. That's good, but that mate can deplete you. Anything that can deplete you, you better sit down first and put your heart into it and say, I know trouble lies ahead. I've counted the cost and I'm ready. Then you'll go the distance. But if your heart don't make that commitment in the beginning, your mind's going to flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. Verse 29, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it. All that behold it began to mock, saying, the man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth, hallelujah, whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else what, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace. Let me tell you about these two scriptures. Just because you're a king and in charge of things and think you're in charge of your life and I don't need any help, don't mean you don't need to consult with the right person. I'm a guy that's in charge, you understand? You know I'm in charge, but let me tell you, I'm not a fool. There's been times in my life I put my trust in somebody else, and I said, I'm too wrapped up in this, you decide for me. What should I do? And I put my soul in somebody else's hand that I fully trusted. And you know what? It was the right thing. Too many times people don't want to get off of their throne. And they're just going to fight until they lose their throne. Too many times they stay till it's gone, too. What you need to realize, it's not just you that's involved with the decision. There's 10,000 other people waiting on your decision. Your kids are waiting on your decision. Your employees, your brothers and sisters are waiting on your decision. You're waiting on my decision.
Hallelujah.
We need to sit down and consider whether we have sufficient to fight the battle or not. If not, then let's send our word ahead of our actions and consider some terms of peace. Consider what else can happen. He said, or else. Oh, my. Or else. Every time you have to make a decision, there's an or else. Or else. Scripture says, or else while he is yet a great way off. The great way off is the secret to this whole thing. Don't wait until trouble comes to try to make up your mind. You can't do it. While trouble is a great way off, he says, sit down while he's yet a great way off. Don't wait until you see the troops. While he's yet a great way off, sit down while you have time. See if you have enough to do this thing. If you don't, send an ambassador and say, hey, buddy, we were just thinking about, you know, we kind of like y'all. We kind of think that we might could get along. It's much like Joshua when he come across, you know, he come marching across Jericho. I mean, he took Jericho down. When he did, I'm telling you, the cities and everybody got full of him. And the inhabitants of Jerem decided, you know what? We better seek some terms of peace. And so they come to Joshua, which the Lord said, don't let them do that. But they fooled him. And they came to Joshua and said, we come from a far country. Our bread is old. Our sandals were new when we left. Look how worn out they are. There's holes. And he fooled him. He said, come into a league with us into terms of peace. And Joshua made a league with them for peace. Let me tell you, all peace is conditional. Did you know that? I don't care what it is that's at peace. There's a condition that makes it peaceful. The reason we're not bombing each other across is because there's some conditions of peace, treaties and things we have in place. If they're breached too far, boom, 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 it breaches the peace. Let me tell you, if you ever looked at the ocean, it's only at peace when the wind's not blowing and the tide's not moving. But where the wind is blowing, because the wind blows, it disturbs the peace of the ocean and it gets violent. When Peter saw the waves and how unpeaceful that was, he lost his peace. And too many times, I'm afraid that we try to deal with unpeaceful situations and we think we're going to make it peaceful. Only Jesus can step on board and said, peace, be still. I got to hurry along. Conditions of peace. Amen. Let me go down here. Let's go to Luke 14 and 33. You know, James talked about the tongue being the most unruly member quite often in his writings. On the five books he wrote, it was pretty fiery. He called the tongue the most unruly member. But also in his writing, he also said that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that sow peace. The most unpeaceful thing you have is this, right here, your tongue. It can disturb somebody's peace just like that. Luke 14 and 33, so after he told them about all these things, and he said that you got to settle it in your heart. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So likewise, he said, he that doesn't forsake all he hath, so let's settle it now. Let's settle it now, okay? So likewise, just like the guy that he just gave the illustration going to build the tower, he didn't settle it. So like the guy that's going to fight against the king with 20,000, unless you settle it, you're going to lose. So he tells them in this scripture, let's settle it now. Now, you look at Jesus, he never begged anybody to follow him. Never. He never even went back a second time. I want to be your disciple. He said, let's settle that now. Birds have nests, foxes have holes. Son of man has no place to lay his head. Now, do you want to follow me? I want to be saved, good master. Sell all you have and give it to the poor. Do you still want to follow me? Let's just settle that now. This is what I want to require of you. And he turned away because his heart was not in it. Take up your cross and follow me. Let's settle that now. Do you really want to follow? Because what's going to happen, I'm telling you, you're going to get out there and change your mind. But if you settle it now, when you come to God, settle it now. I am in this thing for the distance. Come hell, high water, adversity, it doesn't matter what come. I have settled it in my heart, not my mind, my heart. And if my heart is settled, my mind will be too. My, my, my. As they come tonight, let's just sing that little song on our way out of here. Yes, Lord, I will say yes. A couple of scriptures, one of them in 1 Peter 5 and 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto the eternal glory of Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and what? Settle you. There is an order to this, my brothers and sisters. There's a reason why it's put out like this. And what I want to tell you, you see the first thing it says, suffer. Never make a decision in suffering. Never make a decision while you're suffering. Never make a decision while you're being perfected. Never make a decision while you're being established. And never make a decision while you're being strengthened. But when you've been settled, it's a progressive thing till finally you're settled. And when you're settled, I tell people, you got a young couple going to get married. Let me tell you, if y'all ain't settled down, it won't last a year. It'll be over. I'm just telling you, it'll be over. If you're not settled in what you believe, and you're not settled on marrying her, and you're not settled on marrying him and staying with him till the day he died and you stay with him, it won't last. I'm just telling you, your heart's got to be in this thing. Your heart. I don't care who else is getting married around town. I don't care how old they are. If my heart's not ready, I'm not ready. My, my, my. Can I beat y'all up just a little bit more? Colossians 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Oh, grounded and settled. You're not going to be moved away. Which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. See, Paul was this man, Sister Smith, that said, I am troubled on every hand, but not going to move me. I am perplexed, but I'm not destroyed. I am cast down, but I am not forsaken. He was settled in what he believed. No matter what was going on in his life or in his family, he himself, he said, none of these things move me. Why? I'm settled. Get settled in everything that you do. Settle down. Settle down. Like my daddy used to tell me, settle down, son, settle down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me tonight? Settle it in your heart. If you settle it in your heart, your struggle is over.